5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken date, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad editors, bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny's been in the hospital for weeks at a time. I didn't know what to get her. I didn't know what to say to her. I didn't know what to bring her. So instead, I just stayed at home with my own stack of Mendo breath. Screw everybody in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, to ready to travel, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do bit. All my friends that come around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, the towns of town, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High this evening. And it's all happening right now. Gonzaga's in trouble at the half, down 12. To BYU, the number one team in the land, undefeated, the best team in college basketball, 25-0, getting their ass beat right now by BYU, who's 20-5. Of course, they beat them twice in the regular season. This is the third meeting. And the last time they lost a game, the last team to beat them was BYU a year ago in Provo. When they were also, like, undefeated, and unless I'm mistaken, right? It was their only loss. Is that about right, Carver High? I think I'm pretty sure the last team to beat them was BYU in the regular season. And here they are again in the WCC championship game. You have to admit, Carver High, how funny would it be? Seriously. Because I thought for sure that Gonzaga would beat them. And without a doubt, like, you know, I laid the 17 and a hook last night, covered, no problem. I thought, and what was it, 14 this game? They're not covering that spread, I know that. But can you believe they're in trouble? Like, can you even fathom that they would be 25-0, and then in the championship game of that, let's just face it, crappy conference, that they're going to lose in the championship game? What does that say to you about the NCAA tournament? Like, because if they lose to BYU, they're bound to lose to somebody in the tournament. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable to me. How do you go undefeated and then lose in the title game? It just absolutely boggles my mind.
No, you're right. There's no doubt about that. Look, this team knows them, blah, 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 blah. I sometimes feel it's better. Like, this is what I told you about Baylor a week ago. You know, I think that there's too much added pressure on a team when they go into that tournament undefeated. Because not only are you asking questions about winning national titles, are you going to go undefeated too? Are you going to go undefeated? And the I think it wears on the coaches and the players every round, having to hear more and more, you got a chance to go undefeated for the first time since blah, 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 blah. So sometimes I do think it is better to lose these games before you actually play the big tournament. But, I mean, look, I'd they could still be – all these teams aren't getting in the Final Four. I just – they're not all going to get there. Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, I don't think all three of them are going to be there. Somebody's going to get picked off at some point.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There is no doubt. We welcome in SiriusXM, our satellite partners. We're on channel 204 and Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Yeah, yeah. Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on a bench with Carver High on a terrible Tuesday night. And I'm watching BYU trying to upset Gonzaga. Now they've taken a bite out of that lead. They were down 12 at the half. It's 53-46 now. So they've hit a couple of shots, a three and a deuce. So they're, you know, slowly climbing their way back in as they've stopped BYU from scoring here in the first minute and a half of the second half. Now they go for a three ball and they brick it. If they hit that, Carver High, they're down five. Right?
Look, I still think they're going to win.
They would have been down four.
I still think they're going to win the game. I really do. They're not going to cover. They're not going to cover the spread. But I still think they're going to win the game.
Carver High going out on a gigantic limb.
Now, at the start of the half, you could have got him live. You could have got him live plus 1.5 and on the money line plus 118. But that has changed now that they've had this little spurt here to start it. What are they at now?
They're down 9.
Minus 1.5. So they're favored on the live line right now.
Now they're favored?
They're favored minus 1.5 on the live line.
They're just toying with you. They're just toying with you. They just hit a three. They're down 6. They're down 6. So they've cut that lead in half. It was 12. Now it's 6. And you know BYU's going to start feeling the sweaty ball. You know what I mean? They're going to start getting that slippery ball going with the nerves. Harms, the big 7-footer, misses the hook. Now they have a chance to get even closer. They're going to – they're just moving the ball around. They need a good bucket here. They get a good bucket here, and they're back in business. 844-843-6879. There it is, a three ball. They're down 3. So here's Gonzaga down 3, missing a bunny at the glass that would have made it a 1-point game. They're down 3 right now. Plenty of time left the entire second half. There's still 16.5 minutes left in this game. And they're, frantic comeback. They've cut 9 off of a 12-point deficit, and they get a steal here. So obviously the door's open for Gonzaga to, get back in this game, and then they get the reverse layup, and wait a minute, and the foul. Are they going to – no basket? They said, did he step out of bounds? I got to see it. I think he did. I think his foot was out of bounds. It was the foot. Nice reverse layup and one, I thought, but he stepped on the line under the basket, Timmy, and they get no bucket. And that would have made it a tie game. I thought he made the reverse and got fouled and won. But no, he stepped on the line when he went under the basket. So they're still down 3. Carver High, what did you think of – I know you had to have seen it. I know we'll get into the hockey later, but you had to have seen Notre Dame. Did you see them win that game?
I absolutely did. Very proud of the Irish. They were down pretty much the entire game, and they claw back. And the kid hits a buzzer beater. I mean, and he was downtown too. I mean, that was a deep shot that your man hit. And you know what I noticed?
Curry.
What I found bizarre, because you don't see it that often anymore in college. How about the fact that that entire last minute, the up and down, both teams making a bucket, there was a miss and then going the other way. Nobody ever called a timeout. Game just kept flowing in the final minute. Usually you get 1,000 timeouts, teams setting up. It was just Notre Dame made a bucket, Wake made a bucket, Notre Dame missed a bucket, Wake got that, then they had the block, which led to the three to win it. I don't think there was a timeout call in that entire sequence.
What'd you think of the kid from Wake with the long hair hitting all the shots?
Yeah, that dude.
I couldn't, I mean.
He had flow. My man, he had some serious flow, dude. Like, wow. He looked like the mop and the mullet he had like rocking.
Who was the guy? He looked like the guy on the cover of all the love books, you know, like the romance books.
Fabio?
The guy with the long, yeah, Fabio. He had the Fabio hairdo, your boy from Wake. I don't know who he was, some white boy with a Fabio cut.
Who is he? The other thing I don't even know who that is. Who is he? I don't even know who that is.
So, do you remember, here's another one for you, speaking of hair. Who's your boy, the Bruins coach, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? Is that his name?
Yes, Butch Cassidy.
Did you see... I mean, this guy's like, and because I'm just so mean, I have to say it. Like, have you seen a freeway going through his hair? What is going on there? He's losing all of his hair, and he's got this giant highway going right down the middle of it. Like, is there anything where no one has the worse haircut than Tibbs? But in the NHL, I'm starting to think Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid with that giant, like, I don't know, it's like a runway of baldness. He's got the whole thing going where he's got hair everywhere except this main strip right down the middle. He's losing all of it. Did you see that?
Yeah, he's got a very, very strange look to him.
He's got a problem.
I don't know what he's doing with that mop. He's got to figure out. Go one way or the other.
He's close to he's close to Tibbs. He's getting into Tibbs territory where he's like combing it over and trying to do the hiding. It's not working. You know, one of the problems is when you have that issue is that when you're on national television or on, you know, TV, every game you play, you're exposed. There's no hiding it. Like a lot of guys can have a balding problem. They're losing their hair, whatever. They go out, they wear a hat or they got it all going, right? Like your boy, didn't I tell you, your boy, what's his name? Kornheiser. He wears a hat every day now. He's wearing like creepy writer's hats.
Yeah, and that's just for coverage. That's just for coverage.
That's coverage. He's wearing creepy hats though, like really tall, like old man fedoras and stuff. He's got everything. I'm surprised he doesn't have an Abe Lincoln going, the square hat, that he doesn't rock that too. To hide all of his problems. He looks a little bit like, no offense, because he's a great guy, great talent, great host, great writer.
Great recruiter.
But he's got the Tales of the Crypt thing going. He's full on casket. He's Tails, son. It's all happening.
There's a lot of people. Who else did we compare to the Tales of the Crypt recently? Like, there's been a couple people that have had that look. They've been picking up the Tales from the Crypt look. I forget who else. It was maybe a month ago
or so.
I don't remember, but it wasn't even that. You compared somebody to Tales from the Crypt.
It was a week or two ago.
It might have been. You're right.
It was 2 weeks ago.
I forget who it was.
Maybe it was Boeheim.
No, it wasn't Boeheim.
Boeheim looks half dead. One of the great things about our program is the abuse we dish out to others and ourselves. We, just so you know, we do self-deprecation and we make fun of each other and ourselves and others. Each other, ourselves and others. Everyone is prone to some level of abuse from this
equal opportunity.
It really is. Now, it's a 2-point game. You know BYU's in trouble when that 12-point lead slipped through their fingers like that hot girlfriend you thought you were about to tag.
You know what? Maybe they are going to cover. Maybe they are going to cover this game. Maybe they will cover.
Come back and cover the 14.
They might
blow them out in the second half. I mean, if they get it, if they get the lead with under 10, I could see it. Now they get another steal. They're about to tie this game. Your boy Timmy. Oh, and the foul going to the line. They're going to tie it up right here. It's all evolving in front of our very eyes. They're down 12 at the half. I'm like, I start the show. They're in big trouble. And now BYU's in big trouble, mister. You're in big trouble, mister.
And I told you that the women played each other in the West Coast final before this. Same two teams, Gonzaga and BYU. And Gonzaga won on a buzzer beater. The girl hit a runner with no time left to win it for the Zags. In the women's game before this.
Oh, a last second shot runner?
Yeah.
Wow. So I guess the big story tonight is this story about, Myles Leonard. Is that his name?
Yes.
Myers.
Myers Leonard. There you go.
What did I call him? Miles?
Miles.
Listen.
He wishes so he was miles and miles away from everybody else right now.
Well, he is now miles and miles away from everyone else because he's taking an indefinite leave from the Miami Heat after use of a anti-Semitic slur. The Heat came out with a statement tonight. See if I can get this statement. The Miami Heat vehemently condemns the use of any form of hate speech. The words used by Myers Leonard were wrong, and we will not tolerate hateful language from anyone associated with our franchise. To hear it from a Miami Heat player is especially disappointing and hurting to all those who work here hurtful, as well as the larger South Florida, Miami Heat, and the NBA community. Myers Leonard will be away from the team indefinitely. The Heat will cooperate with the NBA when it conducts its investigation. So, when we come back, I'll tell you what happened. He did it playing like a video game. All right, Pharrell on a bench. So what happened with Myers Leonard is that he was playing Call of Duty. Call of Duty. Call of Duty on a live stream. And you can actually hear him just rip off this anti-Semitic slur. He just absolutely is so profane and vulgar and... I got to be honest with you. How stupid do you have to be? I mean, like, you're on live stream. You know you're on. You know people are watching. You know people are listening. You know that there's an audience, right? I mean, at some level. I mean, I guess I can understand. I can understand people that slip on the air or something. I get that. Like, if you slip and... swear or something, I get it. It happens. Fair enough. And then people freak out. The whole world ends. You morons! I've never seen anything like it in radio, how bad it's gotten, where you literally, I mean, you have no idea, like, what I got away with back in the day, right? Back in the day, if you go back, and I know this isn't one of these, I walked 5 miles in the snow with no shoes. It's not one of those. I'm talking about, like, when I used to do the show nationally out of Los Angeles, I mean, in the 90s, right? And I was on The Fan in New York. Carver High remembers he was a kid, like, whatever, in high school or whatever it was. And, it was pretty edgy, right? It was real edgy.
Definitely.
And I mean, it was the most edgy show that they had ever heard on The Fan in New York. Okay, and let's just be clear. People can say whatever they want, think whatever they want, believe whatever they want, but The Fan is the biggest sports station in America. That's it, right? That's just all there is to it. Whether you like it or not, and it always has been, right? So people don't like that because one of the problems was, and it's true to this day, right, is that they have just kicked everyone's ass for so long. Carver High, you know that's true. It's been like 30 years of them kicking everyone's ass. That's why everybody hates them so much, because they lose to them. And then they, you know, finally win in afternoon drive. They beat Francesa or whatever for the first time ever. That's, you know, and then he retired seven times. All I know is that no one's ever been able to beat him, right? And the station as a whole, right? Am I wrong, Carver? They still do better than everybody else.
Oh, absolutely.
They still own the market. They just lost in afternoons. And now, from what I've been hearing, have you, and not that I don't even care about this. This is not part of my story. I'm just telling you what I know to be true, because I could care less about it. And Carver High backs me up. You either back me up on this or tell him I'm a liar. Have you ever known me to ever listen to The Fan ever once?
No.
I don't listen to The Fan. I haven't listened to it once my entire life. So I just don't listen to it. Okay, fair enough. And that's the truth on my life. And I just know that first of all, that I heard that the afternoon show right now that they put in there with Carton and your boy Evan, I'm glad I remembered his name there for a second. I was like, who's the other guy? Because I didn't. I know his name's Evan Roberts. So they're doing a great job, right? Like, I heard that they're, like, catching him. Is that true? Like, I heard in the first chunk of the book, in the first phase of the book, they beat him. So, like, he's been back. Craig's been back for, like, what, 3 or 4 months? And now it took, like, 3 or 4 months. That was it. It took 3 months for them to already catch him. Like, it's like, and so once they pass him, here's what happens. Like, in a NASCAR race, it's over. Once they pass him, it's over. Same thing when Kay passed Francesa. It was over. There's no catching him. It's like, once you get lapped, it's over. Now, the other thing, they're coming back to beat him. And you know that's going to happen eventually, right? So, and that's no disrespect to anybody on the other side. As you know, I'm friends with all these people. I get along with everybody. And I just don't care about the war that they have going with other radio stations. I just don't get into it. I don't listen. I don't watch. I don't know any of it. All I know is I was there every day for years and years and years. So I know all this because I did my national show right from the same hallway, the same studios, like two doors down. I was doing national as they were doing local. So I see them every day and I know all this stuff. And then I work with Carver High, who knows everything. He's like the inside scoop guy there. All of his best friends work there over time, right? So we know everything. And my point is that at the end of the day, if you go back to the 90s when I did radio, right, it was so loose. I mean, I got away with murder. And bottom line, I was doing a show that was so edgy, they didn't know what to think of it in New York. It was so edgy and crazy. And the words that I used were so bad. Just stop.
Can you please stop, Scott? I'm asking you. Just play, you know, you want to play a song, but can you just stop already? Talk about sport.
Listen, were you eating pizza and doing cocaine in my studio on Friday night? He said that to me. And he said, were you eating pizza and doing cocaine in my studio? I said, listen, we did not leave any cocaine in your studio.
Just clean it up next time. Just clean it up.
We did all of it. I didn't leave anything there. There was no residual. There was no dusting. We did all of it. Did you have hookers in my studio? Get a hold of yourself. I don't know if they were exactly, you know, hookers, Mark. I don't know. I don't know if they were hookers. I think they were strippers. And will you smoke?
You know, that probably didn't go over too well. Studio.
Yeah, it didn't go over too well. But anyway, the point being is that if you're on here and you're saying these things, you know you're live on the air, right? Like, you just... So what happened in time is that in time, the FCC came down with all their rules and such, and then everybody started doing candy-ass soft radio, right? I mean, that's just all there is to it. And again, I'm not trying to be right. I just am right. I'm not even trying to prove a point. I am right. It just changed. And then everything became politically correct. You couldn't say anything. You couldn't say this. You couldn't say that. Forget about the seven words. It became 700 words you couldn't say. Right? And Carver High knows this is true. Like, the seven dirty words, are you kidding me? There's like 700 of them now you can't say. So I was on the air doing all this just ruthless behavior. My mouth was so bad, and the things I said were so funny, people didn't know what to think of it. Like, the language that I spoke, like this, the words and the drivel coming out of my mouth were so different than anything they'd ever heard. And then all of the people on the fan started complaining, the host, like, this guy's saying dirty things. He's just a horrible person. We got to get rid of him. Meanwhile, the show was number one the entire time I was on. I own New York. It was that simple. And hate me all you want. Say whatever you want. Have at it. But I kicked everyone's ass 6 ways till Sunday. I mean, it was bad. I was getting 10 shares to their one share. That's how bad it was. I own New York. I mean, I was like, and then I did live shows in New York. I did live shows in New York, packed, thousands of people. And then Dave Letterman walked in to do, hang out and watch the show. I mean, that really sums it up. But then they changed it and turned it into wussy radio. Now it's still wussy radio. And I'm like, so here I am. I'm watching this guy. This Myers Leonard guy, how do you not know? Like, because of all people, I know when I'm on the air that I can't say anything, right? Like, I'm the dirtiest, foul mouth. Carver High will tell you, like, when I'm not on the air, I'm just a disgusting, repulsive person. My mouth is so bad. And my basketball, when I play, you name it, I got a foul mouth. And I'm a horrible person overall in general. And it's funny because, Carver High will tell you that's the truth. And then, but I know that when I go on the air on the Vatican network or anywhere else on this network, it doesn't matter. I can't say anything. I cannot be who I really am. I can't perform at a high level where I'm actually, having fun and being crazy. Because when I do it that way, like when I did it on Howard 101 on Sirius, that was the best I ever did because I got away with everything. It was uncensored, no rules, absolutely do whatever I want. It was fantastic. But then I started working at CBS again, and I had to do all these rules. And I mean to tell you, I was A to Z. Oh, my God, the amount of stuff I got in trouble. If I even mentioned anything, I got in trouble. So, my point is that Myers Leonard, how do you not know, Carver High, when you're on TV doing a live stream that everybody's watching you and then you drop that bomb right on the air, right live on television? He drops that bomb. I mean, that was a gigantic anti-Semitic bomb. That's what that was. And then how about this guy? He actually had the gall to say he didn't know what it meant. I don't believe one word that comes out of his mouth, because when he said it, it came out perfectly like he meant it, right? Like that slur that he used. All you have to do is go listen to it. It's available, readily available. You can go listen to him lose his mind on the Call of Duty live stream, and you'll hear him drop the bomb. And you cannot tell me someone that says that. You cannot tell me that someone that says that doesn't know what it means. You cannot tell me the use of those words, you don't know what they mean when you use them like he did. He's lying through his teeth. He needs to go into hiding because he's cold-busted. So we're talking about Myers Leonard. He's in big trouble, mister. It's Pharrell and Carver High, your boy, on a bench. Anyway, so here's the deal. He's like a big gamer, this guy. And first, let me establish, he's played in three games the whole season. And I just also want to establish, on top of that, like the icing on the cake is that I think Myers Leonard just completely sucks as a basketball player. He's just terrible. Right? Like, honestly, he's just a giant monster of a muscle head. He's like a guy he looks juiced out of his face. He's just so ripped, right? Like, that's what he is. He's just this giant ripped dude who has, I mean, like a 1 out of 10. What would you give him, Carver High? About a 1? As a player, he's terrible. You can't even argue.
I mean,
like, I'm not even going to listen to anybody tell me that he's good. He's terrible.
Give him a 2. Give him a 2.
All right. Well, can you drop him down to a 1 now that he's just lost his career?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably, you know, I guess you have to figure attitude into it at some point.
Here's what's going to happen, just so we're clear. The team is distancing themselves from him instantly. Instantly, they're like, he's going on leave. He's going on leave. What are you, in the army? This guy's going on leave. No, he's been banished. He's been sent packing. Like, get out. You're not around here for a while. First of all, he doesn't play to begin with. Second of all, they've given him an indefinite leave, which is a nice way of saying you're suspended. You're not a part of this right now. You're a mess. And then he's well known in the gaming community. And in 2019, he partnered with this group called the Fozzy Clan, I guess is what they're called. Anyway, I have no idea what any of this means. Like, this is my true age coming to the, you know, right to the top. You know, just coming right to the forefront there of the eclipse of the moon. Just like you get a point where you just have no clue what anybody's talking about. It's when you know you're going down the other side of the mountain. Like, I'm old, and now I have no idea what they're talking about, so I don't even want to know, and I'm just out of the conversation because I have no idea what Fozzy Clan is. I thought I knew everything. I know very little. Anyway,
lighten up, Francis.
Scuff Gaming and Origin PC, both, these are like gaming companies. They both cut him. They both ended their relationships, which is a nice way of saying you're fired. No one ever wants to use the word fired anymore. It's very dangerous to use the word fired. So they use amicably, you know, they worked amicably, ended their relationship. They both decided to, you know, break it off and go their separate way. They never say fired, but the reality is Scuff and Origin both got rid of him. Boom, done. You're out. See ya. They distanced themselves from him immediately. They ended their working relationship. That's a nice way of saying in Portuguese, you're fired. Anyway, they're going to review his actions. What they're going to do is run the other way. They're going to run from him and have nothing to do with him ever again. That's the end of that. So here's the deal. The guy said that he didn't know what it meant, which is a load of shack. That's what that is. That is an absolute BS meter, just breaking the glass and just snapping with this guy's lies. Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting this guy on a what do they call them? Those lie detector tests. So what's the deal? Do you know what that means? No, I don't. And the thing's like, beep, 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 beep. You know, he's lying. Because how do you say what he said in the flow of playing video games and drop those bombs and not know what they mean? Anyone that drops that bomb in the middle of their conversation, in the middle of a heated moment or playing video games or playing sports or talking in public at a restaurant or anywhere else, anyway, doing anything, and you drop those bombs, I will never in my life believe anyone that tells me he didn't know what it meant. You didn't know what it meant. I had no idea what I was saying, but I said it anyway. It's just the most ridiculous thing in the world is this guy trying to backtrack and play like he didn't know what he was saying. He didn't know what it meant. He just said it, but he didn't know what it meant. Who does that? Who says things like that? And just, you know, I just said it to say it, but I have no idea what it means because I'm a stupid ass. I just don't believe for 1 minute anything that comes out of his mouth.
It's so not a lie if you believe it.
Believe the guy that can we not believe the guy that dropped the anti-Semitic bombs or the racial bombs? Can we not believe him and his continued excuseville response to what happened? The bottom line is that let's get real here for a second. When you do something like this, you're in a mess of trouble. Your career's on the line. You're going to lose your job. You're done. And then you try to backtrack and try to talk your way out of it, right? Or lie your way out of it. People always in trouble start lying, right? I mean, that's exactly what's going on. Like, you know, people, whenever there's a problem, people just start lying. And this guy's lying without a doubt. Like, how do you say that and then try to, like, sell the world that you didn't know what you were saying? And I have no idea what it means, but I just said it anyway. Anyone that cusses that quickly in a moment of heated gaming or basketball or football or anything, argument, lawyers in a courtroom arguing and fighting, cops interviewing a suspect and screaming and yelling, and people are screaming and people say things, right? But generally, if you say something that vulgar, something that racial, something that anti-Semitic, something that dramatic, you cannot tell me, Carver High, that you don't know what it means. You can't say those things in any situation. Someone tell me right now, go ahead, call me and tell me, how do you say that and then play like you have no idea what you just said? How do you say something so dramatically anti-Semitic and then play like you have no idea what you just said? I didn't even know what it meant. That's what he said. I don't even know what that word means. And, you know, he dropped two words that were enormously anti-Semitic, basically, right? His phrase was anti-Semitic, without a doubt. And he's claiming he doesn't know what he said. And then he's apologizing through his nose, just up and down, just like, I am sorry for using an anti-Semitic slur during an investigation or during I can't see because I'm so absolutely unequivocally blind. I cannot see. I have to stretch this out. Hold on. During the live stream, well, I didn't know what the word meant at the time. My ignorance about its history and how offensive it is to the Jewish community is absolutely not an excuse, and I was just wrong. I am now more aware of the meaning, and I am committed to properly seeking out people who can help educate me about this type of hate and how we can fight it. I acknowledge and my own mistake, and there's no running from something like this that is so hurtful to someone else. This is not a proper representation of who I am, and I want to apologize to the Arisons, my teammates, coaches, front office, and everyone associated with the Miami Heat organization, to my family, to our loyal fans, and to others in the Jewish community who I have hurt. I promise to be doing better and know that my future actions will be more powerful than my use of this word. So that's his statement that he released after he dropped the anti-Semitic slur and the bomb that he dropped. And then he said he had no idea what it meant.
You know, that probably didn't go over too well.
He's just full of it. You know it, Carver High. You don't believe him for 1 minute, do you? I mean, honestly, like if I were a judge right now, in a courtroom, and this guy was like blowing smoke up my tuchus, I'd be like, bro, who are you kidding here? Are you serious? Do you think we're all this gullible? So stupid to believe? He didn't know what it meant. Like, let me just be clear. Every time I drop massive, like just absolute rants of cussing and swearing and acting like an idiot, and I'm screaming and yelling at people and cussing, like whoever, family, basketball, wherever, fight with someone you don't know, car wreck, whatever it is, people are fighting and arguing and you're using foul language and you're screaming at people or yelling or getting in an argument or a fight. I know exactly my arsenal of bombs that I pull out and my ability to weave them into someone's skull and ruin their day. I am great at cussing. I am great at hurting feelings.
That I'm custom made. I can't help it that I look good, smell good, woo, can dance all night long. I can't help it. that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
I can't help that I'm a lover. Anyway, I know that when I'm going off on someone, I know exactly what I'm saying. Now, you might come from the side of the river that takes it back. I'm sorry about that. I want to take that back. I'm sorry I said that. I actually live on the side of the river where I just basically never take it back. When I drop, I'm dropping and I'm leaving it right there for you to swim in. When I'm dropping bombs on you, you're not going to forget me. Trust me. I've had those fights. I made a 6'8" guy playing basketball. I think I told the story over Christmas. I made a guy snap so bad at Christmas playing basketball. I didn't even know him. I had nothing to do with the play. All I did was make fun of him for like 20 seconds. And in 20 seconds, this guy, he would have murdered me. He's 6'8", 310 pounds. He would have murdered me, and he tried to murder me. And he yelled to everyone in the gym that he was going to kill me. He was going to kill me. Meanwhile, and it was even better, I was like, I don't even know this guy. I don't even know him. I had nothing to do with the play. I just said that was I made fun of him so effectively with his bad, like his call was so bad that I made fun of it so good that everyone was laughing at him. And when everyone laughed at him, then he turned to, like, kill me. Once he got made fun of by everyone, all the brothers were making fun of him and laughing at him. Like, when I said it, they were like, ah, he just lit you up. And then this guy came at me, wanted to kill me. He wanted to kill me dead, and he even said he was going to kill me dead. And I was like, and it took 9 guys to hold him back from killing me. And he was enormous. Like, I'm not even kidding you. 6'8", 6'9", 310. The guy would have killed me. But I'm just so good at getting under people's skin. And I just know for a fact that you can't, like, say it and then play like you don't know what it means. You can't say the things that you say and act like you don't have any idea what it means. You just say it just for the fun of it. He is so lying through his teeth, it's not even funny. I do not accept his apology at all because I know he's lying. And he's an absolute phony-ass liar. And he knows exactly what he said. And he knows exactly what it means. And he knows that he just absolutely slayed the Jewish community with his anti-Semitic bomb that he dropped on his little video game party he was having. And all you have to do is listen to it for like 30 seconds and you hear all the foul language and disgusting, repulsive stuff that was coming out of his mouth. And then you're going to listen to this guy tell you he's sorry and that he didn't mean it. He wants to be a better person. Here's what's going to happen to him. He's finished with the Miami Heat. They're going to get rid of him by tomorrow. He's done. He's finished. It's the cancel culture. He's been canceled officially by me right here tonight. He's finished in the NBA. Who's going to take him on? Who's going to pick him up? All right, Pharrell on the bench. So Gonzaga is going to win that WCC championship game. They came back. They're up 10, and the game's going to end right now. 88-78 Gonzaga. They win. They will not cover the 14, but they win, and they remain undefeated, 26-0. BYU had them by 12 at the half, and they wiped that out and then still beat them by double figures, beat them by 10. And Gonzaga wins the championship, and now they head to the NCAA tournament 26-0. But more importantly, the game in the Summit championship is tied 72 apiece in a timeout with 14 seconds left. Now, am I crazy? I don't know if you were watching it, Carver. What was there, a timeout when the guy's going to the line? So the guy at
he missed the first one.
Oral Roberts is. Oh, he already missed one?
He already missed one. This kid number 3, Armis, he missed the first one, and now they just called the timeout. So he's got one to go.
More to shoot. But he bricked. So anyway, I just want to look at that line. Because I had Oral Roberts, and it was a straight pick. So I have a bad feeling about this. He's going to make that or miss it, either or. And you know that no matter what, North Dakota State's going to get the last shot. And if they hit it, they're going to win. And they're going to they're going to win by one or two or whatever, no matter what, because at most the kid from Oral is going to hit the free throw and they go up one, right? They either win by one or they're going to lose by two or three. I'm not feeling good about that. I hit North Dakota State last night. Then again, I hit everything last night. But this game right now is sketchy to me. What do you think, Carver High? Tied up, second free throw, 72 apiece, 14 seconds left. I know we're going to run out of time here, but I'll at least be able to tell you, I think
Oral Roberts wins by one.
If the kid hits the free throw. You think Oral Roberts wins. The kid hit the free throw. They're up one. I'm out of time, so I'll tell you what happened when I come back.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.